have a Bible today, turn to Luke. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. The Gospels are a blessing. One preacher, a famous preacher, I can't recall his name right now. He's written a lot of books and he pastored years ago. But he set his Bible reading aside except for the Gospels for an entire year. All he read was the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And he said it was such a blessing to him because it's all about the life of Christ. And it really spoke to his heart. And our Lord gives us so many wonderful instructions. He shows his hand to be strong, but his heart to be so tender towards us. And then he gives us instruction how to deal with each other and all the blessings that he gives us. But let's begin reading. Let's see. Let's start in verse 32, Luke chapter 6, verse 32. He says, "For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies and do good, and lend hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." And I want to direct your attention to verse 35, that last statement. "For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." That is an absolutely amazing verse, and I'm glad it's in the Bible. Amen. Father, bless your word today. May we just receive it. May we soak it in. I pray that this would really thrill our souls, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. He's kind to the unthankful and the evil. That it really is an amazing statement. I enjoy kindness, don't you? I enjoy people being kind to me. It's just a blessing. It's a blessing to be kind to other people. And you would think you wouldn't want to be kind to somebody who wasn't kind to you. You know, it's like I'll respond in kind, not by kindness, but in kind. And so the Bible tells us, beware that you don't, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. And a soft answer turneth away wrath. So there's all of the instruction that is a blessing to our spirit and a blessing to the will of God. But I'm thankful, I wrote this down, I am thankful that God is kind to me when I am unthankful. I'm thankful that God is kind to me even when I'm unthankful. So I'm thankful for him, amen? I don't know of anybody that's thankful for everything all the time, but we're gonna look at that today, and maybe the Lord will direct us in the right path. 2 Corinthians 9:15. "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Amen? And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a pretty easy verse to obey. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. We think about Jesus and the sacrifice he made. You know, when God forgives us or shows us mercy, that really cost him. That cost him the death of his son on Calvary, where he had to turn away from that cry, and Jesus became the representative sinner for us and paid that penalty. And we've talked about that a number of times. That was a very hard thing, and we enjoy the benefit of that. But thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Boy, there's so much in that verse. It's a gift. All you have to do is receive it. You don't have to earn it. You receive it. So that's an easy one to do. 1 Corinthians 15:57. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Boy, that's an easy one too. I'm thankful when God gives me victory. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so we have victory over sin, over all kinds of mental things, but God helps us in that area. And so we're thankful for that. The Bible says that. We're thankful for that. We have Psalm 136, verse 26. "Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever." There's another easy one. Aren't these easy? I'm thankful he forgives me. I'm thankful he's merciful to me. I'm thankful for all that. 1 Thessalonians 1:2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. That's a pretty easy one too. God brings this person to your mind. They're faithful to the Lord. He was talking about the church at Thessalonica and how they received the word as it is in truth, the word of God, which able to change their life. And they were growing as believers. And so Paul is praying for them. And he says, man, I thank God for the memory of that. I thank God that I can see your face and see your faithfulness. That's a pretty easy one too. Psalm, I got about 85 of these. Amen. Psalm 69:30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. So much to be thankful for spiritually. And so that's an easy one too. And we sing. The other day in Sunday school, we taught on music and what a blessing that is and how that affects our hearts and those songs of Zion and all the psalms that are just songs. It's just such a blessing, and that's easy to do. So we give thanks to God for his word, for his salvation, for his mercy, for his blessings. Man, that's easy. Oh, you got to raise your work. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Boy, thank you for that. Somebody buys you a new car. Man, I can't stand them. They bought me a new car. No. Boy, thank you. And, you know, you're going to go golfing. Paul's going to go golfing. And so he prays for nice weather. Amen. And it's a beautiful 70-degree sunny day. And he gets out on the golf course. He hits a hole in one, you know, but he can't tell anybody because it's Sunday. And he should have been in church. But anyway, you know, I mean, all of the positive things in life, it's so easy to thank the Lord for those things. Amen? And that's the easy part. But then you come to a verse like 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's a little harder. In everything. That's not just all the blessings. That's in sometimes the loss, that is sometimes in the weakness, that is sometimes in where you don't have wisdom to make a decision, because God will use all of that in our life to bring glory to his name, and we have talked about that. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we're not thankful for everything. Amen? Sometimes we're not thankful in all things. Richard's a lumberjack. At least that's what they used to call him, right? Lumberjacks. And, I mean, that guy, he's like a rock. And he's still cutting trees down. And when the tree falls the right way, he's happy. I've seen him unhappy. But anyway, it's harder to do this. 1 Peter 4:19. Let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. We're thankful that we can suffer in the will of God because it brings glory to God. That's a deep subject, and maybe we'll get into that a little bit later. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross, and he's praying, and he says in verse 42, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And the will of the Father, he was sent to earth to die on a cross for our sins. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's the reason he came into the world, to save sinners. And we're all sinners, and he came to die in our place. And that's what thrills our soul, and that's why we're so thankful for our salvation, for the forgiveness of our sins. But look how difficult that was for him to bring that about. Amen? And sometimes for a blessing to be given or bestowed on somebody else, there's suffering on somebody's part to provide that. And so we thank God that he uses us, but I'll tell you, it's a spiritual battle for God to use you. And there's spiritual wickedness in high places that we have to fight and war against so that we can be victorious in this life. Philippians 4:6. Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Those are harder. when you're praying about some difficult situation. We can thank God that He knows all about it. He sees the end from the beginning. He knows what He's going to do, and all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. I said before, if you're making a cake and you get the eggs out, you put raw eggs in there, maybe some, you put lard. I've never made a cake, so I have no idea. You put some coffee in there to make a coffee cake, right? I think that's how it works. But you go and you get all this, and you get margarine, and you get, you know, all this. And if you were to take a spoonful of margarine, you know, that wouldn't taste too good, right? Or even a couple raw eggs. Some people like raw eggs. I've never tried it, but I know I wouldn't like it. But individually, all those ingredients, they're not appetizing. But you put them all together and you beat it and you mix it all up, and then you put it into an oven that's hot, and it stays in there on, what, 650 for 2 hours, and then you get done with it and you bring it out, and it's delicious. It's delicious. Sometimes in our life, some things are not very palatable. I mean, they don't taste very good. They leave a bad taste in our mouth, but God is using everything to bring a blessing to somebody, like He used His Son to bring a blessing to us. Amen? And so we think about these verses. In everything, have thanksgiving. There's a song entitled Sweet Will of God, and one of the verses says, my stubborn will at last hath yielded. I would be thine and thine alone. And this the prayer my lips are bringing, Lord, let in me thy will be done. It's a good song. Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. So there must be a problem that could consume us, but it's His mercies that doesn't allow that to destroy our lives. And it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. His mercy is new every morning. And what do you need mercy for? What do you need compassion for? It's because you're going through some sort of trial. But there's a purpose in that. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm 103, one of my favorites. All the verses are good, but we'll just look at a few of these verses. Psalm 103, and we'll look at verse 10. Psalm 103. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Thank God for that. Amen. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him, that reverence Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. He knows exactly who we are. You know, I got saved a lot of years ago, and I have not done everything right. I have sinned against God. I have been cold. I have been hot. I have been lukewarm. I mean, I've been thankful. I've been unthankful. I've had good days and bad days. I don't know, am I describing you to some degree too? And aren't we thankful to God that He sees? Well, Paul isn't thankful today, but I'm going to be kind to him. Paul's heart is getting cold today, but I'm going to bless him today and draw him back to me. We serve a great God. Amen? And He doesn't react like we would. Well, you're not kind to me? Okay. I'm done being kind to you. That's not how it works. It's God in us using His Spirit. He's kind even when I'm unthankful. In Noah's day, 1 Peter 3:20. Oh, what a great verse. Which sometime were disobedient, the people then. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. Over 100 years. The long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing. But the time came when the ark was finished, and Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So he's preaching as well as building an ark. And they were mocking him. But now the ark is done, and the Bible told Noah to get in the ark, and God shut the door because the invitation was over. You could come in the ark, you could believe in God up to a certain point, but then the day was over, and the flood came and destroyed all those people because they did not believe. But I want you to notice the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, waited. I want the Lord to come. I want the rapture to take place now. And that's biblical. That's in Revelation. Even so, come Lord Jesus. But there's a part of me that wants him to wait because I have loved ones and friends that aren't saved. And so we have that mixed emotion. But God doeth all things well. Amen. He will do the right thing. In Genesis 6:3, God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. But he wants all men everywhere to be saved. And so his mercy just and his long-suffering just goes on and on and on. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's a story in Matthew chapter 21. It's about the history. Well, it's a parable, not a story, but it's a parable. And Jesus, God is portraying a husbandman as himself who owns this vineyard and hires people to come and work there. And when the time of fruit came, it's a history of Israel. When the time of fruit came, he sent some of his servants to get the fruit. And the husbandmen that were working the field said no, and they cursed some, they sent them away, they stoned some. And so he sent more servants to try to get fruit from that place. He owned the vineyard. And when he came, they ill-treated them again, and they killed some, and they sent them away. And he says there, Matthew 21, and last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, surely they will reverence my son. But when the son came, which is a picture of Jesus Christ to that nation, they killed the son because they did not want that over them. And that's a picture of what Israel did. But you can see the history over and over and over. The prophets came, the preachers came, the seers came, and they came with the message of who God was. And they were rejected over and over and over. And so God sends his only begotten son into the world. And the world crucified him. The greatest gift that's ever been given to the world. Matthew chapter 23, Jesus brings a great message to the religious people of that day. And he said, I would have gathered you as a mother hen gathereth her chicks unto herself, but ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. I would, but ye would not. And that's the message today. God wants all men everywhere to be saved. God wants to forgive. God wants to be a blessing. God wants to show his kindness to everybody. But some don't receive it. John 5:40, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life, because if they came, they would have life. The kindness of God, Webster says, it's an act of goodwill. Kindness is an act of goodwill. Any act of benevolence which promotes the happiness or welfare of others, charity, hospitality, attentions to the wants of others are deemed as acts of kindness. Malice is ill will. Kindness is goodwill. And our Heavenly Father delights in blessing us, delights in mercy. The pulpit commentary about our verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, in everything give thanks, in every circumstance, in joy and in sorrow, for everything, for prosperity and for adversity. It's so easy to thank God for prosperity, isn't it? Man, that's so easy. Look at how I'm blessed financially, physically. But it says also in adversity. In every place, in the house of God or on the bed of sickness, Christians should not only be engaged in constant prayer, but in constant thanksgiving. God's kindness. God's kindness. Remember Lot? God's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he sends two angels to get Lot out of Sodom. And the Bible says in that chapter, and the Lord being merciful to Lot, they took him by the hand and forcefully brought him out of Sodom, saved his life. You think in the Bible about Balaam. Balaam was the hireling prophet. Balaam's riding that donkey, and he's going to sell out the children of Israel, and the donkey sees the angel of the Lord in front of him. He's in between these hedgerows. And the donkey starts to go off to the one side, and he beats that donkey. Balaam couldn't see the angel with a sword in his hand, but the donkey saw it. And so it tried to go the other way, and Balaam's cursing this donkey and just hitting it. And the last time, he runs right into the hedge, and Balaam's going to kill the donkey. And then the donkey spoke. Say, can donkeys speak? Yeah, canaries can speak, parrots can speak. But that donkey spoke and warned him about the angel with the sword, and then he saw it. Sometimes we don't see what God is doing, and he hedges us in here and here, and man, that's what I want to do. And God says, no, that won't be good. And we just wait on the Lord, amen. God's good. God was showing mercy to Balaam. Didn't really help him. The thief on the cross, all his life. He even mocked God in the beginning. And God gave him another chance right at the end of his life. Man, God's good. Amen. I've witnessed to people in hospital rooms taking their last breath. Couldn't even respond. Couldn't even say anything. All the tubes and everything. And I took their hand a number of times, and I'd take their hand and I'd say, now, Jesus, and I'd go through the gospel, and I'd say, do you believe that? If you do, squeeze my hand. And they would squeeze my hand. Led them through the prayer, salvation. I said, now, did you sincerely ask Jesus to be your Savior? Squeeze my hand. And they squeezed their hand, and it wasn't long, and they went out into eternity. God does that sometimes. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't it a blessing to do that? And maybe even the inconvenience of going to a hospital or going to a neighbor or enduring the rejection for years and years and years and never giving up on somebody. Amen? And then finally, God blessing like that. It's so wonderful. Well, Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things. That's the third verse that says the same thing. Unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But let's get back to the kindness of God. Because I'm thankful he's kind to me when I'm not thankful. That's a real play on words, isn't it? Luke chapter 10, the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan is a picture of Jesus. The man that was beaten, robbed, left for dead, naked, just out there on the road to Jericho. He's just laying there, and the Good Samaritan comes along, Christ comes along, and he washes him up, he puts him on his beast, he takes him to an inn, he says, take care of him when I come back, if he owes you anything, I'll pay it. He didn't know how that man was going to respond to him, right? What do I get out of this? There's somebody on the side of the road, he could be on the side of a car too. He's on the road. But he's on the side of the road. He's got a flat tire. But it's raining. Let's make it Ida. Let's make Ida. She's in the car and she's got a flat tire and she's on the side of the road. And we drive right on by. Nothing to fear from Ida. You know, she's not going to jump out and hit it. Well, maybe she would. I don't know. She's got a mean side, right? She's so sweet. But you take the time to help somebody, amen? Not knowing if they'll even thank you. Most people do. But he did that, and God already knew whether he would thank him or not. That's the picture. God's done a lot for us, hasn't he? And he knows sometimes we'll be unthankful. Luke chapter 17, 10 lepers. All 10 were cleansed. All 10 of them. And the Lord knows the end from the beginning, right? He knew nine were going to depart, but it's in the scriptures recorded for us. Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the nine? But only this one came back to thank me. And maybe you're the one that came back to thank him. That's a blessing. Jesus knew Peter would deny him. He knew Thomas would doubt him. He knew Judas would betray him. And yet, he had mercy on all of them. All of them. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me, the song says. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. The Apostle Paul, if you're not as thankful as you ought to be today, and who is, know that God is kind to you, even in that weakness, even in that willfulness. God is still a good God. Romans 1:14, the Apostle Paul said this, I am debtor. If you're a debtor, you owe something. I am debtor both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. I remember in Bible college, one of my professors, he would open every class with songs. We'd sing songs, we'd learn choruses, all that kind of stuff. And there was one, it's been a long time ago, so I don't remember all the words, but it went something like this. I had a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt I did not owe. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, and it goes on. But it says, I had a debt I could not pay. I couldn't pay for my sins. If I did, I'd go to hell. So Jesus paid the debt. He didn't owe, so I don't have to pay the debt. Amen? So Paul is saying, I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. And why to these other people? Why to, what did it say there? To the Greeks and to the barbarians. Because God loves them and God died for them too. Amen? He paid the debt for everybody. You know John 3:16? Just say it with me. We'll say it nice and slow. We'll see if you know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay? Most people know that. Do you know 1 John 3:16? Same author. John wrote the book of John, and he wrote 1 John. 1 John 3:16 says this, Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He laid down his life for us. He paid a debt he did not owe, because I had a debt I could not pay. So he paid my debt. John 3:16, he died for the world. Everybody, the barbarians, the Greeks, everybody. And then here, because he died for me, I am to give my life for others. That's the debt. Amen? Sounds like a very reasonable thing. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There it is again. I'm a debtor to God because he paid my debt. And this is what he's telling me. Listen to it. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I'm a debtor. Amen? I pay my debts. Look at Matthew 18. If you have a Bible, Matthew 18. This is a very, very familiar story, but it is so appropriate for this message that we want it together in here. This is Matthew chapter 18, and look with me beginning at verse 23. Matthew 18 and verse 23. Notice the language. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. That is a lot of money. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. I had a debt I could not pay. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Forgave him the debt because he couldn't pay it. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, not much at all. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Same words that he used. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. He wasn't paying anybody's debt. Somebody paid his debt, but he ain't paying no debts. This is about forgiveness here. This is about kindness. This is about love. This is about mercy. This is about grace. It says, So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then the Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt. Why? Because thou desirest it. I forgave everything. That's what Jesus did for us. And because he did that, he's telling us to take somebody else's debt away. I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about mercy and grace. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? I believe so. Be kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It's so clear in the scriptures. Matthew 6:12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. There's the debt again. Acts 11:26, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That was the first time that anybody called them Christians, followers of Christ, Christians at Antioch. 1 Peter 4:16, there's three times the word Christian is in the Bible. 1 Peter 4:16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, man, I wish it was getting saved and just skipping along through life, you know? Lord, I am hungry. Oh, here's some Twinkies, you know? Man, I'm tired. Well, here's a hammock. Go out and get some iced tea. And isn't life easy? No telemarketers, amen? Just floating along. No, if any man suffer as a Christian, and why do we suffer? Jesus suffered for us. He suffered on a cross. He suffered being mocked, being beaten, so that we could be free, so that we could be saved. Amen? If any man suffer as a Christian, not as an evildoer, not as a murderer, not as a thief, but if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Praise God, because God will use my suffering. God will use what I'm going through to pay somebody's debt, to be a blessing. Acts 26:28, Agrippa said to Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But he's the king. He's pomp and circumstance. He's wealth, prestige, power. And Paul is before him with all of his scars and his wounds and his bonds and his filth from the prison. And Paul is saying, You need to be like me. And the king is saying, I don't want to be like you. I'm the king. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. If he went by the message, if he went by a value on forgiveness and knowing Almighty God, he'd have been saved immediately. He'd have run to the gospel. Amen? But it was all out here. It was all out here. Little girl went up to her father said, Daddy, what's a Christian? And he began to explain it with some of the verses that we just read. And he got all done. And she looked at him and she said, Daddy, have I ever seen a Christian? Whoa, that would be convicting, wouldn't it? Because we want, in our suffering, we want the Spirit of Christ to come out. In our loss, we want the gain for our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our testimony for Almighty God. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. 1 Corinthians 13:4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Colossians 3:12, put on therefore the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. 2 Peter 1, we preached on that. Add to your faith virtue and the virtue temperance. And you come on down to brotherly kindness, to charity. That's how we grow as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've quoted Bob Jones Sr. many times, and He said this. He said, when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. If gratitude, well, I'm thankful I have this, and I'm thankful I have that, and I'm thankful this is easy. No. Are we thankful that we're being used of God? Are we thankful that we can bring glory to his name? Are we thankful that we can pay a price so that he's glorified? That's what we're talking about. And watch what this is. Gratitude to God helps you, but it helps other people. Because if you're thankful to God, what's the verse, Richard? What am I thinking of? Okay. God delighteth in mercy, right? That's the verse. God delighteth in mercy. And there's a verse about us showing mercy with cheerfulness. So God delights in being merciful to people, and God's Spirit is in us, and we need to pay our debt, amen, because he's done everything for us. So let's show mercy with cheerfulness. That's a wonderful, wonderful testimony. Remember, we're debtors. We're all debtors. We had a debt we could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, David is now the king. Saul had tried to kill him. And Jonathan was his friend. Remember, Jonathan helped him to get away from his father to kill him. And so David is now the king. Saul is dead. Jonathan is dead. And usually the king that would take power killed all the seed of the other king, because that seed would always try to rise up and kill him and take the kingdom back. And so David says, I'm king now, and said to one of his servants, is there any other seed of the house of Saul that is still alive that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Because Jonathan was his friend. And they said, yeah, there's one. He's a man by the name of Mephibosheth, and he lives up in Lodebar. And he's lame, because when he was trying to escape, the servant fell with him and broke his leg. And anyway, he's lame on his feet. And David said, go up and get him. So Mephibosheth is coming back. He's going to see the king. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He has no idea. Maybe he's going to kill me. But this was Jonathan's son. Jonathan was precious to David. And when Mephibosheth came before David, David said, we're going to give you all this land. I know you're lame, but you can eat at my table the rest of your life. You can eat bread at my table the rest of your life for your father Jonathan's sake. Because Jonathan was dear to him, and he would gladly show that grace. Well, there's so many verses. I'll just give you one and then we'll be done. 2 Corinthians 4:5. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake. I'm going to be your servant for Jesus' sake. No, I want to be in charge. No, I don't want to be in charge. I want to be a servant for Jesus' sake. The greatest among you will be your minister, not your pastor, your minister. Those that minister one to another. Amen? And so, well, but they're not thankful. It doesn't matter if they're thankful, because we're not doing it for them mainly. We're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's precious to us. Lord, is there anybody here that I can show them kindness for your sake? Not to receive anything from them. They may never even thank me, but I want to do it for you. Boy, that's it. That's it. And the times I'm unthankful, God is still kind. Even when I'm unthankful, he's still kind. Even when they were cursing him, spitting on him, he died for them. Wow. Something to think about, amen? I'm thankful that when I'm unthankful, he's still kind to me. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads, please. This Thanksgiving, just be thankful to Almighty God. and it'll change your relationship to people. Be thankful for the debt that he paid for you, and it'll help you pay somebody else's debt. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you bless it for your honor and glory. May it change our lives. May we do what we do for Jesus' sake. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for the unspeakable gift. Thank you for giving us the victory. Thank you, thank you, thank you. May we thank you also for the hard things, for the price to pay. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.